At this time, what we want to do is turn in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians and chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we will be for the Bible study tonight, Ephesians chapter 5. And of course, we've been going through the book of Ephesians a little bit at a time. And we find ourselves now in chapter number 5. Remember that in the first part of the chapter, we're told to be followers of God as dear children. We're to walk in love. We're to leave behind fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness. It's not to be once named among us. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, right? We are reminded of the fact that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man and others will have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. We're not to be deceived about that, that God is angry about those things and God will punish the world for those things. And by the way, the world knows that, don't they? And the world deep down knows that God is going to judge them for them, for those things. And that's why there's so much hatred in the world toward God and toward the things of God, especially from the crowd that goes into different kinds of perversion and foolishness and all the things that we're seeing. They have a tendency to get violent and be very angry. And I believe the reason is because they know deep down that God will judge them for that, and they're angry about that. But that is what the Word of God says, right? So verse 7 then of this same chapter tells us that we're not to be partakers with them, that we were sometimes darkness, but now are we light in the Lord, and that we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So start with verse number 13, if you would, where it says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And then verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, the last time, about 2 weeks ago, I think it was, that we were in this section of the Word of God, we emphasized the beginning of verse number 18, where it tells us not to be drunk with wine. And we talked about the fact that we're not only not to be drunk with wine, but the Bible's very clear throughout the rest of Scripture that we really should, if we're wise, stay away from it in its entirety. And if we are deceived by it, then it just shows that we are not wise. So the best thing for a Christian is to stay away from alcohol in its entirety. But now we're going to focus on that latter half of the verse, which is, instead of being intoxicated, what we should be is filled with the Spirit. We've mentioned in the past about the fact that the intoxication with alcohol causes a person to act differently than they would have had they not been intoxicated. A lot of times, a person becomes more bold, either in good things, but usually not, usually bad things. Usually things that make them seem an awful lot like an idiot. And that's the way drunkenness is. But as you and I are filled with the Spirit, a very similar thing will happen. What will happen to us is the actions that would be normal for us, to be shy, to be reserved, to not care about the things of God, to care about the things of the world, those things are set aside. And what happens as we're filled with the Spirit is the love of God, the boldness of the Holy Spirit, the desire for the things of God, those things are allowed to come out and dominate our life. And that's why we are told to be filled with the Spirit. So what we're going to focus on tonight is not only being filled with the Spirit, but verses 19 through 21, which will give us the resulting four ongoing actions that will happen when we're filled with the Spirit. We're going to focus on that tonight. But before we do, let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the privilege and the honor, the opportunity, Lord, to preach your word to your people. Now, Lord, would you give me the ability to speak, Lord, with power and authority? Would you give me the ability, Lord, to speak in such a way that your people are blessed? Lord, when I say power and authority, Lord, not for my sake, not so that the people would think well of me or be intimidated by my presence or supposed authority, but Lord, rather that they would recognize that this is your word, that as we read Ephesians 5 and we learn from it, that it's not what pastor thinks, it's not even what the church teaches, it's what you have written in your word and preserved. Now, Lord, would you help us with that? In Jesus' name, amen. So, rather than drunkenness, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Consider what it means to be filled with the Spirit. It's very simple words, aren't they? They're not complicated, they're not difficult. And I think that there's a reason why God allowed the Apostle Paul to use that terminology when talking about being filled with the Spirit. He wanted him to use filled with the Spirit. Why? Because it's a great analogy for us to understand. If something is filled with something else, what that automatically means is there is a lack of anything except what fills it. Does that make sense? In other words, there are big flower pots out in front of the church there, but one of the things I learned early on in my short career of trying to make the outside of a house look beautiful is when you have one of those big flower pots, only the naive people try to fill all that with dirt. Have you ever been there? Have you been naive like me? Don't raise your hand. You'll feel dumb like I do. All right? But you don't. Some of you are like, no, I'm not supposed to fill it with dirt. No, you don't fill it with dirt. You put other things in there like styrofoam or rocks or something else you put in the bottom of it that fills up two-thirds of it. And then the rest of it, you put dirt because that's all the plants need and it makes it lighter and cheaper, et cetera. I know I just helped you with some things right there. Some of you are taking notes on this right now. Pastor Weiss is starting a gardening YouTube channel next week, okay? So keep your eye out for that. Not really. You wouldn't want gardening advice from me. But all that to say, is the pot filled with dirt when you do that? No, it's not filled with dirt. Does it have dirt in it? Yes. Does it look like it's filled with dirt? Well, probably, because the dirt's to the top, but it's not filled with dirt. You know what, Christian? The same is true for you and me. When God says, be filled with the Spirit, you know what he's saying? Exactly what he said. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means that other things have to leave. That means that the natural man, the spirit of the natural man, has to be gone. That means what Mike Weiss is needs to be out. If I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, that means Mike Weiss has to die to self. And he doesn't like to do that because he likes certain things. He wants certain things. He has a certain plan for his life, and he's comfortable with other things and all of that, and other things make him feel good. But if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, Mike Weiss has to be set aside, a love for the world, and on we could go, right? There is a need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, friends, isn't it right that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit? It is. And let me give you a reason from the Word of God. Keep your place in Ephesians 5 and turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 because I need you to see this. All of us need to be reminded of this. Friends, this is important. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, why is it that it is right for you and me to be filled with the Spirit? Well, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Notice what the Word of God says there. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice there that the Word of God tells us very clearly that now that we are born again, our bodies belong to the Spirit of God. Our bodies, listen, are bought with a price. Now, I recognize our bodies are still sinful, aren't they? They still desire the things that are wrong, but make no mistake, our bodies are still purchased by God. They belong to Him. They are His temple. That means that it's only right that He be filled with that we be filled with Him, the owner of the temple. I saw a headline in the news. Some of you maybe saw it. I didn't read the article, but I saw a headline that there were some homeowners who, I'm assuming they bought a house from a distance. They didn't necessarily buy it on site, I'm guessing. But they bought this house, and some other people in the meantime moved in. And they're having a hard time, go figure, right, getting them out. I don't know about you, but that'd make me a little bit upset. But wait a minute, I do that with the Lord all the time, don't I? He bought my body as his temple, his house. And friends, sometimes, if I'm honest, sometimes if you're honest, what we've done is we've given the key to someone who is not the owner. Not only that, but the analogy gets worse. We've given the key not only to somebody who's not the owner, we've given the key to the enemy of the owner. Isn't that a sad thing when we do that? Make no mistake, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they are the enemy of God. So let's be filled with the Spirit. He is right. It is right, I should say, for him to have full control of our bodies. Let's go ahead and go over now to Ephesians chapter 5 again. I could talk to you about Acts chapter 2, where the filling of the Spirit resulted in Peter having a sudden change in the ability to speak in Acts chapter 2 when he preached at Pentecost. We can talk about Acts chapter 4 when the church was filled with boldness as they were filled with the Spirit of God, right? Something in them changed and they became different when they were filled with the Spirit of God. Well, notice how the Apostle Paul describes it to the Ephesian Christians, starting with verse number 18. Let's just start there for context sake. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now notice verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here's what I want to show you tonight in the few minutes we have before we get to the Lord's table. When you and I are filled with the Spirit, please pay attention, there will be four ongoing actions in our life. Okay, four ongoing actions, and here they are. The first one is we will be speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, that doesn't mean that you go around speaking to yourself. Okay, some of you do that, and it has nothing to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Some of my kids do that sometimes as they walk through the house, but that's not the filling of the Holy Spirit. When it says speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it's not just saying walking around and talking to yourself like a crazy person. It's saying going around and when you meet other believers, speaking to yourselves. It's the idea of as you are in a group of other believers, what is your conversation about? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it will be about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In other words, the idea is that we will be encouraging one another. When we're not filled with the Spirit, we'll have conversations with our brethren, but have you ever been around somebody and you just had a hard time talking to them about anything? It just seemed like there was nothing that you had in common, and so you'd try to start a conversation, and the conversation would very quickly die. One time, my wife and I, when we were in the ministry for just a couple of years, we had a missionary stay with us. She'll remember who this missionary was. There was a certain individual missionary that stayed with us, and he was an older gentleman, at least older than us. You know, we were in our 20s at the time, and he was in his 50s, I would guess. And I had had a lot of missionaries in my home at that time. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I knew what it was to have missionaries stay with us and how to keep a conversation going. And I could not keep a conversation going with that guy for anything. There was a lot of dead silence. It was difficult. Needless to say, when he drove away, I was glad. I don't know why. We just had nothing in common. Now, wait a minute. Does that happen to us around Christians? I'm not saying one individual Christian, you know, that happens with anybody. But as a general rule, do we have it an easier time talking with the people of the world than we do the people in God's house? Do we have an easier time talking with our buddies about hunting season and fishing season or, you know, cars or computers or sports or whatever the thing is and ladies, whatever it is that ladies talk about? Do you have an easier time talking with the people at work about those things than you do? And suddenly when you get into God's house, it's as if, I don't know, there's just nothing to talk about. Friends, if that's the case, it may be, I'm not your judge, but it may be that you're not filled with the Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Spirit, we will be speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When I'm filled with the Spirit, you know what happens when I come to church? I see, I'm going to use Jeremiah here because he was smart enough to sit in front. When I see Jeremiah, I think about, you know what? He's my brother in Christ. I love him. I want to encourage him. I want to see him go on for the Lord. I want to see him do well. And so what can I do to encourage him? How can I help him? And I see in him a light and a love for the things of God. And I say, aha, there's somebody who knows what I'm thinking about and wants to talk with me about those things. And so we naturally begin to speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Those type of things that encourage, that edify, that strengthen, they're naturally what we talk about when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, when he's filled with the Holy Spirit. But again, when I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, I have a harder time because my mind is on carnal things. I'm back to the old man. Notice that when it says speaking to ourselves, it says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Some people obviously would take that as the three different types of singing that happens in a church. And that is certainly part of it, that as we come into church and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what else is going to happen? We are going to sing out when it's time to sing. And friends, let me be honest with you for just a moment and just say, sometimes, not often, but sometimes I look out on our congregation, and again, it's not often, but I see people who really don't want to sing. And I see them and they kind of are almost just looking at the page and they won't even look up at Brother Adrian who's leading and they just kind of look down. And here's what I know about that person. There's a spiritual struggle going on. You know what else I see sometimes? I see people who have no voice whatsoever that's pleasant to listen to at all. And they belt it out with all their heart. You know what I know about that person? I'm not saying they're a perfect Christian, but I'm saying there's something right going on in their heart. There's something in their relationship with God that's good. There's a certain individual in our church that you hear him every once in a while when you sing, and I hear him when I watch the YouTube video. When I watch the YouTube video, I can hear him sing out. Listen, he can't sing, but boy, does he belt it out. You know what I say in my mind when I hear that? Thank you, Lord. I want to be like that. I want to sing out like that. No matter what anyone thinks, no matter if anyone thinks it sounds good or not, I want to sing because I want to bring honor and glory to your name. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what we will do. So with that said, let me take a moment to just ask you a very convicting question. What's your attitude like when the singing happens? Is it in your heart to just sing out as much as you can? Is it in your heart to want to give praise to God and glory to his name? Or is it kind of a drudgery and something you go through? And I don't say that to condemn anyone. I say that to encourage you to listen. If that's the case, then there's probably a lack of the filling of the Spirit of God. There's something else that's filling that spot. So the first ongoing action was speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Then notice the next thing that it says in verse number 19, singing and making melody. What are the next three words? In your heart. So not only speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but singing in your heart, going around and singing and having that melody in your heart when you're out in the world. A certain child of mine that shall remain nameless, at one time or another back in our history, my wife and I would talk about this individual child and say we're a little bit worried about this one and not sure what the spiritual life is going to be like of that one, and there's some things and this and that. And then one day I came to my wife and said to her, you know what, I just had an encouraging sign that things are really going better in the heart of our child than we realize. They were doing their chores and humming a hymn. That's a good sign. Not to say that everything's right and, you know, we can stop praying, but it's a good sign. Something's right there. If in the middle of your chores and in the middle of just everyday activities without music being played, a song of God is in your heart, that's a good thing. Listen, that's going to be a result of being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit means that our thoughts and our hearts, our actions, our innermost being is going to be filled with the things of God. You know, at other times, I've heard my kids humming and singing when they're going about their chores, songs from the latest kids movie that they saw. That's a little more discouraging, isn't it? Nothing absolutely wrong about that necessarily. But you know what that tells me? That's what they're filled with. It doesn't mean they're evil, wicked people, although sometimes they are. But it means, as a parent, I probably need to make sure that they're getting filled with other things rather than the latest kids movie. And I probably need to reduce that and increase some spiritual things because I want them to be filled with the Spirit. I want that to be what goes on in their life. Now, wait a minute. It's easy for me to pick on my kids. What about me? What fills me? So when we're filled, we're going to be speaking to ourselves. We're going to be singing and making melodies in our hearts. And notice it is to the Lord. I love that. But there's a third ongoing action. We want to look at that. That's found in verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A result of the filling of the Holy Spirit is giving thanks. That is a result of the Spirit of God filling me. I will give thanks. Now, I love it that God says giving thanks, but he doesn't stop there. It's almost like God takes the knife and sticks it into our heart, and now he's going to twist it a little bit. Because you and I have a hard enough time giving thanks. Would you agree with me on that? And here's what God does. He says, I'm not going to let you go with just saying you need to give thanks. I'm going to add to that. And here's how he adds to it. He says, giving thanks always, ouch, for all things. Ooh, that's where he really gets us with conviction. Because you see, it's easy to give thanks when, you know, something happens at work, for instance, and I pray and say, oh, Lord, help me with this, and God helps me with it, and it comes out the way I want it to, and I can say, man, God is good. Thank you, God, for coming through. Or like today, a beautiful sunshiny day and moderately warm weather to me, just about a perfect day weather-wise, and oh, God, thank you for the beautiful weather, but what about yesterday? When it's cold and wind and rain? What about when I'm at work and things just continually go bad and God doesn't allow that things get resolved and all of that? What about when I wake up in the morning and my kids are sick or my wife is not feeling well and maybe I've got a headache and maybe bad things happen in our home or whatever? Am I still giving thanks? If I'm filled with the Spirit, I will. If I'm filled with the Spirit, I'll give thanks always for all things. Because after all, doesn't the Word of God tell us that all things work together for good? So shouldn't I give thanks for all things? Friends, did anything bad happen in your life today? And if it did you give thanks for it? Have you been facing a difficulty recently? Did you give thanks for it? If not, believe me, you're not alone. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that will be the result. So you know what that tells me is? If I'm seeing these things and I'm saying, well, I'm not singing out in church and I don't have a melody that is in my heart to the Lord on a regular basis and I'm not giving thanks for all things, I can try to give myself a box and make sure that every day I check that box. Okay, I got to make sure that when I go to church today, I really sing out. And when I leave, I got to make sure that, okay, the right melody is in my heart. And all right, I'm going to give thanks for everything. I could focus on those things, or I could, rather than that, focus on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if I focus on being filled with the Holy Spirit, he'll take care of the list. And so how do you focus on being filled with the Holy Spirit? Submit yourself to him. Humble yourself before him. Seek to walk in him. When you make a mistake, confess it to him. Get it right. Say, Lord, I want to walk with you. Lord, you have what I need. Lord, I want to be filled with you. And if you and I will do that, he will fill us. Now, there's a fourth ongoing action that we will have in our lives when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The first one was speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. The second one was singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. The third is giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And then notice this last one, verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The fourth and probably the most convicting of all of these ongoing actions that will be a result of our being filled with the Holy Spirit is when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will submit ourselves one to another. All right, now, if you say, Pastor, what do you mean by submit yourselves one to another? Well, let's look at verse number 24. I'm sorry, 22, and find another example of it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. as unto the Lord. Men, do we know what it means when God says that a wife should submit to her husband? Do we know what that means? And I think the answer is yes. Every husband here could say, oh, I know what it is. I know what she's supposed to be doing, right? She's supposed to submit to me. And you know what? You're right. That's the word of God. But before that verse, you know what it tells me? That if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, the truth of the matter is, before she can ever submit to me, I'm going to be submitting to her. Wow. Not only will I be submitting to her, but truth of the matter is, I'll be submitting to you. And I'll be submitting to the others in the church. And you'll be submitting to them if you are, and submitting yourself to me if you are, etc. Do you see the picture here? You know what being filled with the Spirit looks like? Part of it is it looks like we'll submit to one another. That doesn't mean that I let everybody boss me around in everything, right? There's definitely a hierarchy. There's definitely leadership. And submitting yourself as a husband to your wife doesn't mean that you leave all the decision-making to her and, well, I'm going to let her be the boss because, after all, I'm supposed to submit to her. No, the Word of God is clear. The husband's the head of the wife, so you can't leave the leadership to her. But there's an amazing ability as the leader to still be able to submit yourself to your wife. There's an amazing ability that we have within the church to, without letting people lord over us or tell us everything that we're supposed to do or tell us what job to take or whatever, we're not talking about those things, and yet we can still submit to one another. What that basically means is that I look at my life as here to serve you. That's what we're supposed to do within the church, submit to one another. So rather than coming into church, as many Christians do, and looking at it with an attitude of, what can I get out of the people that are my fellow church members? Rather, submitting myself to them means, when I come in, what would serve them best? What would be better for them? I'm thankful that God has given us a church, what I believe is full of people who submit to one another. From what I've seen, not perfection, but people who submit to one another. I've heard about churches who, for instance, just like we're going to have a business meeting coming up on Sunday, who dread business meetings because in their church, chairs will be thrown. Oh, yeah. Words will be said. People will be mad at one another. People will storm out. Friends, these things ought not so to be. You know what that is? If that happens in a church, that's a church that isn't filled with the Spirit. Because when I'm filled with the Spirit, the truth of the matter is, it's not that I won't stand for truth and right, that if the pastor wants to lead the church wrong, that I won't stand up and say, Pastor, with all due respect and with all kindness and love, we ought not go that direction. That's wrong. I can still do that and submit. It's not that I never stand up for what's right, but when push comes to shove, if it's not a matter of doctrinal purity, if it's not a matter of, you know, something that's important to keep things right on track, if it's just about the color of the carpet and something not important like that, I can say, you know what, it doesn't really matter what I want. I'll just submit to what everyone else wants. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what will happen? That'll happen. In my marriage, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what I'll do? I'll say, sweetheart, I don't understand why you want the new floors that we're putting in to be that color. But you know what? If that was what would make you happy, let's do it. Not that that has ever happened in the White House, okay? But you get the idea, right? If it's not something that's absolutely essential, hey, you have your way. It's not important. Here's what I think, but it doesn't really matter. Let's do what you think would be best. That is a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we will speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We'll sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, right? We'll give thanks always for all things, and we'll submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That sounds like utopia to me. The right kind of church, and it all comes from being filled with the Spirit. Let's pray.